بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، أما بعد. The next chapter is chapter number 51, باب ما جاء في أسماء رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. In some of your editions, after this chapter we just did حجامة, there's a chapter on the life of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. باب ما جاء في عيش رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, which we covered many months ago, because it was different in this other edition. So if you skip that, the next chapter is the chapter on the names of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has 99 names, as we know, mentioned in the hadiths. With regards to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well, there are numerous names that have been mentioned about him, which he himself mentions. So this chapter is on the names of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is brought, Imam Tirmidhi brings this whole chapter in this book on the Shamail, on the characteristics of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the reasoning is quite simple. This book is to show you the different great things about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one is that we tell you what the great things are. The other one is that we mention the names that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had, that he himself said, "I have," and other people called him with. That in itself tells you that if you give somebody a name, not names that are meaningless, Shabana, Kabana, you know, just weird names that people make up just to sound funky or different. You know, as these movie stars make up just, you know, low fat milk or something like that. It's just ridiculous stuff. It's just that's all rebranding. It's like they're merchandising themselves. That's why they do this thing. They give themselves a new name. But this is names that tell you about what's in the person, what the person is all about, what his characteristics are, what his attributes are, what his qualities are. And that's the same thing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every name you can, you know, as we've had the course, you know, we've discussed that in great detail before from Imam Qurtubi's work. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Malik, Al-Quddus, Al-Salam, Al-Mu'min, Al-Muhaymin. With Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are numerous names as well. So that's what this chapter is about, is to show that his different fadilat and his virtues and his qualities based on the different names that we have. Some of them were names that he was given, like Muhammad and Ahmed. That's a proper name. You know, like somebody's called Abu Bakr, somebody's called Zubair. The other one is a characteristic you give somebody, a quality he has, so you call him something. Like, any examples? Like a nickname for something good that somebody might have. Like, for example, one is the worshipper, Al-Abid. You know, like many ulama say, he was Al-Abid, the Abid. Others, just for distinction, they say Al-A'raj, Taymur Lung, right? Lung, it means Al-A'raj, which means the lame one, right? Al-Ahwal, the cross-eyed one. So that's, they sound very negative. None of those apply to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had all positive names, and you'll see them. He describes some himself. The first hadith is hadith number 373. There's only two hadith in this chapter. The first hadith is 373, which is related from Muhammad ibn Jubayr ibn Mut'im, from his father, Jubayr ibn Mut'im, who was a Sahabi. So his son is relating from his father. He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna li asma." I have many names. I have many names. And then he said, "Ana Muhammad." I have many names. I am Muhammad. Wa ana Ahmad. And I am Ahmad. Wa ana al-mahi alladhi yamhu Allahu bi al-kufra. I am also the effacer, the eradicator, the eliminator. Now, I don't want the young guys saying eliminator, that sounds like, you know, some eliminator or something. It's not that. This is very specific because he explains what he means. He said, "I am the mahi." Maha yamhu means to rub something away, to efface something, to remove something. So mahi means the effacer, eradicator, the remover. Alladhi, the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will use to eradicate kufr. So that's what he means, the eliminator of disbelief. وَأَنَا الْحَاشِرُ الَّذِي يُحْشَرُ النَّاسُ عَلَىٰ قَدَمَيَّ. And I'm also the hashir. Hashir, hashara, yahshuru means to gather. So I am also the hashir, the one by whose feet all the people will be gathered. So on the Day of Judgment, they'll eventually all come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they'll all gather around him. It shows the position that in a gathering of need, you will go to the one who is able to help you. So he said, they will, and then by my feet, which means he will be in a place of honor on that day. So I am the hashir around whose feet people will be made together on the Day of Judgment. Wa ana al-aqib, and I am also the final one. I am also the final one, the last one to come. Aqib means the one after whom there's no other prophet. So he's the seal of the prophets, but this is another way of saying it. I'm the last one to come. So this is what he mentions in the hadith. The Prophet ﷺ himself is saying, declaring, this is who I am. Now let's look at what all of that means to us. First and foremost, when the Prophet ﷺ said, I have many names, he just mentioned some of them. So he has many, many names, and he just mentioned some of them as an example of what he is. Because for everything that he will do, and everything that he has done, there's a name for it. The more names a person has, the more multifaceted personality he is. He's also this, he's also that, he's also like this. It shows comprehensiveness. It shows extensive virtue and qualities. In this hadith, the only five names are mentioned. Why only five mentioned here? Because maybe they're the most famous of them. They're the most salient one. Ahmad, Muhammad, Mahi. Because that's what he's going to do. Mahi, which means the effacer of kufr. And on the day of judgment, these are the big ones, the big qualities, the main qualities. Or the other reason why these are mentioned, the Prophet ﷺ only mentioned these five specifically, is because these are the five that are mentioned in the previous books, previous scriptures. When the Prophet, the last Prophet, Muhammad ﷺ was being described in previous books, those were the qualities that were generally mentioned there. Ahmad, Muhammad, these were the, obviously in their own language, but the meaning is the same as these. Ahmad, Muhammad, Mahi, Hashir, and Aqib. These five names. So, Wallahu A'lam. Allah knows best whether that was the reason, whatever the reason is. There's another narration, it mentions that, إِنَّ لِي فِي الْقُرْآنِ سَبْعَةُ أَسْمَى. For I have seven names in the Qur'an, the Prophet ﷺ said. So that's why when he said, I only have five, it doesn't mean I only have five. He just mentioned five there, among the many. That's why in another place he said that I have seven names in the Qur'an. And what are they? Muhammad, Ahmad, anybody else know the rest? Yasin, Taha, Muddathir and Muzzammil. So you have Ahmad, Muhammad, Yasin, Taha, Muzzammil, Muddathir, and one more. Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram. There's Abdihi, Abdullah is mentioned. So Abdullah, the servant of Allah. So these are the seven names that are mentioned in the Quran. So the Prophet at different times, I'm this, I'm that, he's mentioning the different names at different times, not to say these are the only names that I have. There's another narration that Abu Nu'aym relates through many different chains from Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu and other Sahaba who say that summa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nafsahu asma. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave himself many names. And among them, ma hafidhna wa minha ma lam nahfad. These are Sahaba saying, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to mention different names about himself. He used to call himself different names. Some of them we remember and some of them we can't remember. And it's could be up to 400, we think. His names could be up to 400. 400 different qualities being mentioned, subhanallah. Imam Abu Bakr ibn al-Arabi, he has a commentary on Sunan al-Tirmidhi, whose name is Kitab al-Ahwadi, is called Kitab al-Ahwadi, fi sharhi jami' al-Tirmidhi. He relates from some of the Sahaba that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has 1,000 names. And if you remember when we were covering Qurtubi's book on the names of Allah, we are quoting often from Ibn al-Arabi's work. Because Ibn al-Arabi's work is one of the prominent works on the names of Allah. He mentions there that Allah has 1,000 names. Of course the famous 99 and then many, many more. And for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also 1,000 names. Most of them, they're not proper names. You know, you don't give somebody, call him Zayd and Abu Bakr and Yusuf. You don't do that. You know, sometimes you have, okay, Muhammad Yusuf, right? Or Salim Ahmed, or something like that. Like a partner name or something, like a pair. You don't generally give three different names to people. The names that we're talking about are nicknames, qualities, attributes that tell about different things, a new achievement. You know, people with different degrees, they like to put up their this, that, and the other, and you don't even know what half of those words mean, right? GHD and JD and UD and, you know, pata nahi kya kya, you know, PhD, permanent hair damage. I say that from experience. I'm not joking about that. So that's what you're saying. These are just different quality names, qualitative names. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's qualities are many. So he's going to have many names. It's quite understandable. Because somebody might think, why does somebody need so many names? Well, it's because of the qualities he has. You want to call him by all of those qualities. So he said, Ana Muhammad. Now listen to this carefully. Most of us know that he was called Muhammad and Ahmad. But how many of us know the difference between Muhammad and Ahmad? Are they two names that mention the same thing, that mean the same thing, or are they two names that mean totally different things? So that's what we want to make sure we know, because it's our Prophet, we call him Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his name is also Ahmed. And now it's not like, okay, did one person named him Ahmed, one person named, you know, sometimes you have this in a family, the husband and the wife, they come, I get a question, you know, what name, and they've got three, no, my wife won't agree, and my father-in-law won't agree, and my sister won't agree, and then they keep like this really mixed name of something. It's not like that here. Muhammad means something very special and Ahmed means something very special, and they're both independent and yet they both complement each other. The word Muhammad means the one who is praised. It's an exaggerated version of Mahmud. Mahmud is the one who's praised. And Muhammad is the one who's praised immensely, who's praised by the entire world. Not just by the entire world, but everything in the world and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muhammad. وَفِي الْأَرْضِ مَحْمُودٌ وَفِي السَّمَاءِ مُحَمَّدُ. In the earth he could be Mahmud, but in the heavens he's Muhammad. Muhammad, it's even more praise. So that's Muhammad. And Ahmed means the one who praises himself. So Muhammad is the praised one, the one who others praise. And Ahmed is the one who praises. And Ahmed, one is Hamid. Hamid means the one who praises. And Hamad means the one who praises a lot. And Ahmed is the one who praises the most. Arabic is a beautiful language. So Ahmed means the one who praises the most, who praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most among all the creation. And Muhammad is the one who's been praised the most by others. Right, so Mahmud means the praised one, and Muhammad is even more praised. And it means the one whose praises are so many that he is then praised over and over and over again. And that's the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in Ramadan, finally the TV channel 4 is going to do praise the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For their own reasons, right? For their own attraction, whatever it is. But, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ أَنْ أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. It's just, we don't need to watch that. Just, that's what I want to mention here. They're going to do it on Channel 4. They're going to broadcast the Adhan. Don't put Channel 4 on to listen to the Adhan, because you don't need to do that. Non-Muslims, they can. It's good for them, inshallah. Right? Curiosity for them. So don't, Channel 4 par Adhan avi radisha. Let's do that. You know, that's just a waste of time. Because then you'll be on there, and then after that some other program or music will come and you've just spoilt all of your rewards. So don't even put it on. Right? Just understand it's there. And the other thing is, people are going around saying it's Qadiani, it's not. Hassan Rasool, I've actually met this brother, this Qari, and apparently he's going to do it. I've seen a statement by him as well. They just had a picture of a Qadiani mosque in some of the promotional literature, so people went around, they like to make a big fuss straight away. So people went around saying it's Qadiani, it's Qadiani. Inshallah, it's not. This Hassan Rasool is going to do it. He's going to do the Adhan. Right? And he's Sunni, he's not. But just remember, don't put it on. We don't need to watch it. Your Adhan of the Masjid, inshallah. In fact, you should be in the masjid, absolutely. But then, you know, I've seen people sit outside there and watch YouTube on their phones. So somebody called it, what, pocket shaitan? Right. So that's why we have to mention it, yes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was called Muhammad because he was going to be the most praised one. So Allah said, okay, I'll call you the most praised one. Because he was going to be, Allah had destined for him to be the most praised one. So I'll give you that name as well, the most praised one. That's going to be your most famous name. Because he is praised on the tongues of the world, of the people of the world, from every sense. Akhlaq, his character, his personality, his actions, his states, his knowledge, his laws. He is Mahmud in the world and in the heavens, in the dunya, in the akhirah. And what else are we going to say? Everywhere. And then, wa ana Ahmed. So he says, I am the Ahmed. The meaning of Ahmed is Ahmadul Hamidin, really. That's what it is. Ahmadul Hamidin. The most praising of those who praise. The one who praises the most among those who praise. The dalil of this is that on the Day of Judgment, the hadith is famous that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be the last person that everybody comes to say, to make intercession. Intercede to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he starts the reckoning. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will go, and it mentions that he will fall into sajda and he will want to praise Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will now inspire him with these special praises of Allah that he never knew about before as well. And nobody else has heard before. Those praises are needed to praise Allah with. And Allah will give him them. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then react to him with mercy and give him whatever he wants, which is the shafa'ah for the ummah. So that makes him the Ahmad just by that one state. But we know that in this world, He constantly made istighfar. And the reason he made istighfar is because he noticed that he got closer to Allah, and now he's praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with closeness to him that he didn't have yesterday, more closeness to him. So he makes istighfar that, I wish I could have done that yesterday. So you just, he's praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout in his life as well. That is why he mentions that, بِيَدِي لِوَاءُ الْحَمْدِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. I will have the flag of praise in my hand. Meaning I will be the standard bearer of praise on that day. There'll be, I'm the one who will be leading the praise. Subhanallah. And that is why he is given Maqam al-Mahmud. The praiseworthy station. So all of that hamd, hamd, hamd. It's all to do with that. Maqam al-Mahmud. Mahmud also comes from praise. In fact, when anybody praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we only do it because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us how to do it and brought to us the message and the guidance that you must praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for everybody's praise in the world, he is also being receiving the rewards of the praise of everybody, because our praise is done because of him. In fact, he is the Nabi of all the prophets as well. He is the most praising one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala among everybody. Some people say that Ahmad could also mean Mahmud. So it's like Ahmad. But then they would both be the same meaning. So it's better to keep Muhammad in that meaning and Ahmad. Because Ahmad has the possibility of two meanings. Muhammad doesn't. Muhammad means the praised one. But Ahmad could mean the other. But it's best to keep it in the meaning of the one who praises Allah the most. But why some of the ulama have also discussed, why did Prophet ﷺ call himself Muhammad first, then Ahmad? Because if it's from himself, then he should be talking about praising Allah most. As opposed to saying that I'm the most praiseworthy one. Right? Because from the person's perspective, praising Allah is superior than being praised. But he probably mentioned Muhammad first, because that's the more popular name, more well-known name. So he mentioned that first. Say, okay, that's also my name. And then he starts with the others as well. But then the other way to look at it, is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the praised one before he was even born in this world. Because his name has been written by the Arsh. They say Adam alayhi salam used his name. And Allah is praising him among the prophets before he's even coming. So he's Muhammad before he's Ahmad. Because he's only praising Allah after he is coming into this world in that sense, in human sense. But he's Muhammad before that. So Muhammad comes before Ahmad in that sense. It's related from Ka'b that his Muhammad is written on the Arsh, in the seven heavens, in the palaces of Jannah. They're personalized with the names of Muhammad. Subhanallah. Because the only reason we'll get them is because of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's on the Sidratul Muntaha. It's on the ends of the veils to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so on and so forth. These Ahmad and Muhammad are the highest of names. Just like Allah and Rahman are the highest names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah and Rahman are the highest names of Allah. And hence, Muhammad and Ahmad are the highest names of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From that perspective. That is why Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani mentions that it is appropriate and encouraged to try to name as many children with this name as possible. There's a hadith of Abu Nu'aym which mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is a weak hadith I believe, وَعِزَّتِي وَجَلَالِي لَا عَذَّبْتُ أَحَدًا تُسَمَّى بِإِسْمِكَ لَا عَذَّبْتُ أَحَدًا تُسَمَّى بِإِسْمِكَ فِي النَّارِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, by my greatness and my majesty, I am not to punish in my hellfire with anybody who has been named with your name. So now all the people who are Muhammad are getting very happy. MashaAllah. But obviously, these are not guaranteed things because it's not from the Quran, not sahih to that level. And what works in this world is really your a'mal. So if you've been called Muhammad, then act like Muhammad. Be a true Muhammadi. And don't get into the media for doing bad things. That makes me cringe. The police caught someone, his name was John something Muhammad. Even the converts, John something Muhammad, John Malvo Muhammad or something. There was a shooter, this guy who was going around sniper in America in 2004, I think. You see, he shot just so many people in a few days. And his name came out to be Muhammad. Now, that's one hadith. In another one, it mentions, أَلَيْتُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِي لَا يَدْخُلُ النَّارَ مَنْ إِسْمُهُ مُحَمَّدْ وَلَا أَحْمَدْ. that I have made this a preference for myself, Allah says, that the person whose name is Muhammad or Ahmad will not enter the hellfire. That is, of course, if they're Ahmad and Muhammad and act like Ahmad and Muhammad, that's definitely so. But it's a good sign. And there are a number of other ahadith as well. But the main thing what I would recommend here is that there are some communities where Muhammad they give with every name. The name is Yahya, Yusuf, Muhammad Yahya, Muhammad Ishaq, Muhammad Ibrahim. Right? So it's a double name. The only issue with double names is that not everybody calls it, because only one name generally becomes popular. And it's only the parents sometimes that end up saying Muhammad this and Muhammad that, Muhammad Shu'aib and Muhammad Yusuf. Everybody else just says Yusuf or Muhammad. One name dominates. Unless you're very particular. You're always using that and you refuse to say, I'm not gonna turn around to you if you don't use my full name or something like that. But most people don't do that. But there's still, even if it's on the passport, even if it's there somewhere, right, there may be some benefit to it. Wallahu a'lam. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, Anal Mahi. Mahi means the eraser, the effacer, the, what was the other word? The remover, eradicator. So, the يَمْحُ اللَّهُ bi al-kufra, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove kufr through me. And of course, we've seen that there was kufr in the world. According to some ulama, between the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Isa alayhi salam, there were about 570 something years. Because between 2014, and the difference between 2014 and 1434, right now, is exactly 579 years. But obviously that's hijrah time and so on in between. So give or take, so over about 570 years or something, right, between them. There was no prophets in that time. Whereas if you look just at Isa alayhi salam's time, the last prophet before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam, you had Yahya alayhi salam, his cousin, he was a prophet. Zakariya alayhi salam, the father. And then you had many prophets before that. More than one at one time in the different tribes each had a prophet, like ulama. The prophets used to deal with the issue. Nabis, not rasuls, nabis. Right? Which means prophets, not messengers. Not given an extra message. They used to just take the message of the previous rasul and propagate that. So, after having so many prophets, one after the other, 124,000 or so, and then suddenly no prophets, can you imagine the darkness the world is in? Why it's called a time of Jahiliyyah? Because it was Jahiliyyah, a world without a living message, just a distorted message, remnants of a Sharia of the past, nothing. People have gone back to idol worship and so on. You can tell that's an extreme level. That's why Allah has preserved the Quran even after 1400 years, and He says, that's what I'm going to do, because there's going to be no prophet after this, after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But that was sheer ignorance, time of sheer ignorance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he came, the job that he did then, because Adam alayhi salam, okay, he was propagating to his children. There were no kuffar except Qabil. I mean, he's the only criminal there. Then after that, obviously, there were some challenges afterwards, Nuh alayhi salam's time and so on. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was dealing with this whole kufr. So that's why he says that I am the Mahi who's going to remove the kufr, who's going to remove the unbelief. Now, how much unbelief is going to be removed? The ulama specifically analyzed this. Some say he's saying in Makkah and Medina. Some say in the Arabian Peninsula. Some say eventually from the whole world, when Isa alayhi salam finally comes, it will be eventually. Initially, he'll have to deal with the Ya'juj Ma'juj. But after the Ya'juj Ma'juj are destroyed, then there's going to be pure Iman afterwards. So Allah knows best exactly how, to what level He's talking about eradication. But clearly, when you've got now a message of Iman among the kufr that the Prophet ﷺ has provided, then that is a way out of that kufr. And that's what he's saying, to illuminate the world with that. So it could mean that I'm going to be providing evidences for goodness and virtue that will take you out of this darkness of kufr. So that's one meaning it could be. Or it means something more specific, that those who will follow him will have their sins forgiven. Which is also true. So that's another way to look at it. That he will tell you how to get rid of your sins. So eradicate the kufr. And sins are part of kufr in a sense. Lesser. But they're part of that. They're going in that direction. So how to remove that and get virtue in your life. Or it could mean eventually that the kufr will be completely eradicated by the time of Isa alayhi salam. Although it will come back afterwards. Because then the day of judgment will occur. When nobody will be there left to say Allah, Allah. Right. Then he says, Anal Hashir. that people will be gathered around my feet on the Day of Judgment, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be the first person who will come out of the ground, the first person to be resurrected, and then he will lead the procession. He will be the one who everybody's sight will be on. And then it mentions an al-aqib. Aqib means the one after whom there's no prophet, and that one's quite simple. It's quite clear. The next hadith is 374, which is related from Hudhayfa radiyallahu anhu. He said, "Laqitu an-Nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi ba'dhi tariq al-Madinah." I met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once. I was traveling and I met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once in Madinah Munawwara. Right? In one of the streets of Madinah, I suddenly met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he suddenly declared to him. He started telling him that I am this and I am that. He started mentioning all of these names to him. It must have been amazing, because you've just met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He must have just had this revelation. Allah must have just informed him. So he's now propagating, because that's what a prophet is there to do, to propagate. So immediately he's giving the message. So it's this abrupt meeting, and then he says, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ana Muhammad, wa ana Ahmad," and now it's different. "Wa ana Nabiyyur Rahmah," I am the Prophet of Mercy. So this is different from the previous one. That's why what was related earlier from Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, another, that up to 400 names the Prophet ﷺ told us about, but we can't remember some of them. So this indicates that. So he said, "Yes, I am Muhammad, I am Ahmad, I am the Prophet of Mercy, wa ana nabiyyu tawbah, and I am the Prophet of Repentance. I am the Prophet of Repentance. Wa ana al-muqfi, or muqfa." There's both ways to say that, which means I am the one who comes at the end. I am the final one, the one who will follow the others, the other prophets in this world. Muqfi. Or he could read muqfa, the one who's made to follow the others. Both mean the same thing. And then he said, well, it's mukfi, muqaffi, mukfi or muqaffi or muqaffa. You could also say muqaffa. Another one, then he says, "Wa ana al-hashir." We mentioned that already, the one around whom everybody is going to gather, resurrected. "Wa nabiyul malahim," and the prophet of war. Now that's a very interesting combination. At the beginning he's saying, interesting combination, because it raises a question in some people's mind. They think, Prophet of Mercy, Prophet of War. How do you reconcile the two? We had a class of 14, 15 year olds from a Christian school the other day. One of these Christian Catholic schools, these Anglican schools. So they came here, and they were here for Dhuhr as well. And their question was that in Christianity, you're supposed to forgive. You're supposed to turn the other cheek. That is what they say Isa alayhi salam taught. Whereas in Islam, you've got an eye for an eye, the murderer, there's death penalty and so on. So now, if you're just starting from Isa alayhi salam and the Bible, or what we know of the Bible today, and then you're coming to the penal law of Islam, then, and you're comparing the two without an understanding of everything else, then for people who believe just mercy, 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 which is an incomplete understanding of the way the world works anyway, because this world is not just about mercy. You can see it around you. Your faith will shake when there's a tsunami. Because how does that combine with mercy as such? So I explained, I said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ayah, where Allah says, وَكَتَبْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ فِيهَا أَنَّ النَّفْسَ بِالنَّفْسِ وَالْعَيْنَ بِالْعَيْنِ وَالْأَنْفَ بِالْأَنْفِ وَالْأُذُنَ بِالْأُذُنِ وَالسِّنَّ بِالسِّنِّ وَالْجُرُوحَ قِصَاصٌ فَمَنْ تَصَدَّقَ بِهِ فَهُوَ كَفَّارَةٌ لَهُ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَتَبْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ فِيهَا. We prescribed upon them in it. What is he referring to? He's referring to the Old Testament. He's referring to the Torah, to the Bani Israel. We prescribed upon the Bani Israel that there will be an eye for an eye, a life for a life, an ear for an ear, a nose for a nose, and so on. So all that is that in the earlier Sharia, before Isa alayhi salam, it used to be proper retaliation, an eye for an eye. Isa alayhi salam, in his short time in this world, what was understood from him was that you forgive. That the focus, the emphasis that they understood was on the forgiveness which they've taken. Now, Islam has combined the two. Allah very clearly in the Quran says, وَإِن تَعْفُوا وَتَصْفَحُوا. In many places it's saying, and if you forgive and overlook and you pardon, that's better for you. But there are people in this world, if you force them to forgive, the rage inside will kill them. They will become crazy and they will do something because one of their people have been killed. One of their family members have been killed. They want retaliation. Not everybody's willing to forgive. That's human nature. In fact, the minority forgives in general. But the Quran emphasizes, Allah emphasizes, the Sharia of Islam is combined between the two. That yes, we emphasize that you forgive. It's better for you. It's superior for you. Your reward will be with Allah and so on and so forth. But if you want retaliation, then this is the way you do it based on how it used to be before as well. Alhamdulillah, that resonated with these young kids. Because the media tells you half the story. Your RE teacher will tell you half the story. Your RE books will tell you half the story only. Yes, there's a penal law in Islam, right? That a person, you know, will be killed if it's established beyond doubt. The other thing that happened is that one of the young girls that had come, 15, 14, 15, not young, but you know what I mean, but young in that age group. The teacher had forgotten to tell him that you have to be modestly dressed. So she came without trousers on. And then I'd mentioned to the teacher that this is not going to be acceptable, so she told her to cover it up with her jacket. So bichari, you know, she was sitting there covered up. Now 14, 15 year olds, when they come there, they were in this weird state of mind. They're like, what place are we going to? What's it going to be like? So when they first came in, they were like sniggering, talking to each other, and just like, where are we? You know, they were like really... But by the end of it, alhamdulillah, I got feedback afterwards that this same... Because one of the questions that I asked is, why do women have to cover up in Islam? And I explained that it's about modesty. Women are generally more beautiful. They have to cover up. They shouldn't be for everybody. They shouldn't attract one and all, attract people to them. They should be concealed. It's more pure. It's better. I explained like that. Alhamdulillah, when this girl went home that day, the one who was the worst dressed in a sense, right? The teacher writes back to me to say that she thought about it on the way home. The next day she came with trousers. She said that I have been wrong in my attitude towards these things, and I am wrong. I should be more modest. This is not a Muslim. This is not a Muslim. This is a Christian, most likely, right? It's a Christian school. But that is when you give people the sahih, the correct understanding of Islam and the wisdom behind it. That is what makes. But the problem is the propaganda out there is the raw information without any kind of explanation and background, and that's what makes it bad. Because the goodness, it resonates. The goodness resonates. I'm glad I made sabr. My thought was that this teacher should have known better, because it's on our website that when you come for visits you should be, and even teachers are, you know, and this is, and I was said that, you know, don't let her come in. But I just withheld myself because she was covering up, right? But alhamdulillah, this is the benefit. May Allah give her even more tawfiq. So this hadith has both. I am the prophet of mercy, and I'm also the prophet of malhama, of war. So that's the hadith. Now let's just quickly look at the individual. Muhammad and Ahmad, we've discussed that already. Nabiul Rahma. It's because the Prophet ﷺ came with extreme mercy at a time when there was no mercy. If people are burying their daughters alive, how can you say there's mercy in the world? The worst thing you can do, take an infant girl and be so psychologically messed up that it's okay to bury her and then to do it. How can you be, subhanallah, that's what you call societal propaganda. That when a society believes something, you are forced to believe in the same thing. That's why truth is not what society believes. Truth can't be what society believes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. That's what we've sent you. We've sent you but as a source of mercy for the worlds. Because rahmah and mercy was accentuated in the world with the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, both for the believers and the non-believers. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with something that will give them mercy both in this world and in the hereafter, and protect them. The other thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised for this ummah because of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you will not be destroyed by, like, absolutely, you know, like previous nations, they were absolutely destroyed by collapses into the earth, sinking into the ground, tornadoes and just some punishments like that. Like, in all, that will not happen to your ummah. That's a source of mercy. Even for the kuffar, even for the disbelievers, it will not happen to them as a whole. It will happen in individual places, but not as a whole as it happened to previous nations where that entire nation were destroyed completely. The Prophet ﷺ said so many things about it. He said, "Inna Allaha yuhibbu min ibadihi ar-ruhama." Allah loves among His servants those who are merciful. Then He said, "Ar-Rahimun yarhamuhum ar-Rahman." The famous hadith: those who are merciful, the Rahman has mercy on them. Have mercy on those on the earth; those in the heavens will have mercy on you. And there is more mercy that has come from the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than any other prophet as well. Then he says, وَأَنَا نَبِيُّ التَّوْبَةِ I am the prophet of repentance, meaning the one who comes with the whole concept of tawbah. Not to say it wasn't in other nations completely, but so much insistence on it, so much emphasis on tawbah, the encouragement on tawbah. Then he says, أَنَا الْمُقَفَّى or مُقَفِّي, which means I'm the one who comes last. We've dealt with that in some depth anyway. Because the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah created my nur before anybody else. Allah created my nur when Adam ﷺ was just between the water and the clay, which means there was no water and clay. He hasn't even been formed yet. And Allah created my nur first. So the fact that although he's been there in a sense of designation and decree, but then he comes in form later on after all of the other prophets. In fact, it gets so complicated and mind-boggling that the nur of Adam alayhi salam as a prophet is extracted from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam, even though Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam is the physical, biological grandson of Adam alayhi salam. So in physical humanity, humanness, he is the son of Adam alayhi salam. But Adam alayhi salam takes his prophethood from Muhammad, so Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam is his father in prophecy, if you want to put it that way. That's why Ibn al-Farid says in a poem, as though Rasulullah is speaking, he says, وَإِنِّي وَإِن كُنْتُ إِبْنُ آدَمَ سُورَةً فَلِي فِيهِ مَعْنًا شَاهِدٌ بِأُبُوَّتِي. That is just mind-boggling. What he's saying is, even though in the human form, I am the son of Adam, but for me, in him, is a witness that I am the father. Or my father as the prophet, the first nur, the first one who was designated as a messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What the ulama mention is that the rest of the prophets, they're like his khalifas on the earth that came before him. And he came as the final one. That's why his prophecy is the most universal. It's not just to one nation, it's to everyone. And it's to everything. And the final, he says, wa anal hashir, we discussed that already. And then Nabiul Malahim. Malahim is the plural of Malhama. Malhama comes from Talahum. Talahum means when two forces come together. So Malhama is actually the really intense fight, because it's when they come together after being separate. So how do you reconcile between Nabiul Rahma and Nabiul Malhama, Nabiul Malahim? Especially when the Prophet ﷺ said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Now remember, this question is being taken from the perspective of people who think, if he is the mercy for the nations, then how can he also allow people to fight and be a person of war? That is the response. People who understand the comprehensive nature of this world and the way of this world, there's nothing about it. But when you're dominated to feel it's all about mercy, 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 and there is no punishment, whereas it is, it's there, that's when you have to answer these things. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself said, "Ana rahmatun muhdatun." I am a mercy that's gifted. So, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent with the sword as well, and with war for reasons of mercy. There's mercy at the end of it. How? Because Allah subhanahu wa taala first supports His messengers and strengthens their da'wah with mu'jizat, with miracles, and people look at them and they're convinced. Mu'jizat, miracles, are one of the most effective things, because you see something extraordinary happening, right? So that convinces a lot of people. And that was the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the nations of the past. If they then disagreed and they rejected and denied, then they would be punished and they would be destroyed. So Allah gave clear evidences, clear miracles. We don't have as many miracles now in our lifetime as the ummahs had before them. You know, like the animal coming out of the mountain, Salih alayhi salam's time, and all the other miracles. If they did not still believe, أَنزِلْ عَلَيْنَا مَائِدَةً مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ, send us a food platter from the heavens. So it increases. They still didn't believe afterwards. So then what? Right? So then they would be punished. But with this nation, they're not going to be punished like that. Now for those who reject and who deny, and who then come and aggress, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed this so that at least the people who do want to believe, they can remain safe and sound. So it's to keep the people with iman safe and sound, and for them to have a place in this world to live. That is why that has been legislated, as explained by the ulama here. But otherwise, the Prophet ﷺ had every opportunity that he had to kill someone, he would have done it. When he came out of Ta'if, which you could probably say was one of the most humiliating times that he may have gone through. The famous story. How embarrassing that little kids are throwing and you're blooded throughout your body and they didn't listen to you. How embarrassing is that? One is in war, you suffer a setback. But here, you've gone in gracefully and you've come out humiliated. And he's given, the Prophet comes and says, in shitta, atbaqtu alayhim al-akhshabain. If you want, I'll just bring the two mountains together and crush them all like that. And the Prophet ﷺ absolutely refused. He says, arju an yukhrij Allah min aslabihim man yuwahiduhu, wa la yushriku bihi shay'a. I have absolute hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that from their loins Allah will create those who will believe Him and who will not commit shirk with Him. So that's how you combine between the two. And finally, the last hadith here, which is just a hadith with a different chain that Imam Tirmidhi decides to use as an emphasis for the first one. And that's it. Now, the commentator mentions here that all of the, they're all names. The author did not bring anything about the Prophet ﷺ's titles. What do you mean by titles? One is a name and a characteristic and a nickname. The other one is the agnomen, Abu something. So for that, the Prophet ﷺ had many. He was given the name Abu Ibrahim, because he had a son Ibrahim, so he's rightfully called Abu Ibrahim. He had a son called Tahir and Tayyib, or maybe they were the same. He's called Abu Tahir. He was also called Abu Tayyib. So some people call him Abu Tahir, Abu Tayyib. Right? Another one is Abu Aramil, the father of the widows. The widows, because he used to help them out. Abu al-Mu'mineen, we didn't know that one, did we? Abu al-Mu'mineen, the father of the believers. That's also one of the names given to him. Not so famous, obviously. But the most famous one is Abu al-Qasim. His son Qasim from him. Abu al-Qasim, that's the most famous one. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam truly in our heart with good understanding of what it is, what it means to love Him. Let that love permeate our hearts. And let us swim in the sea of His love. So that on the day of judgment, He's our Savior. He gives intercession and He doesn't turn His face away from us, and He serves us from the Hawd of Kawthar. Allah give us that true recognition of Him and make us true emulators of Him. Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam tabarak ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Allahumma ya hayyu ya qayyum bi rahmatika nastaghith. Allahumma ya hannan ya mannan la ilaha illa anta subhanaka inna kunna min adh-dhalimin. Jazallahu anna Muhammadan ma huwa ahlu. Allahumma fil lana warhamna wa'afina wahdina warzuqna. Allahumma ihdina wahdi bina waj'alna hudatan liman ihtada. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-huda wat-tuqa wal-'afafa wal-ghina. Allahumma inna nas'aluka tamam al-'afiyah wa dawam al-'afiyah wa shukra 'ala al-'afiyah. Allahumma ihfaz al-muslimin jami'an min al-bala wal-afat والمحن. اللهم جنبنا الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن. اللهم وفقنا لما تحبه وترضى من القول والفعل والعمل والنية. وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد.